Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Crammed in the back of the Sigma. I don't know if you remember a Sigma. It's a car. If you grew up in the 70s or 80s, you might have even had one of these atrocities. But we had one as a kid. It was cashmere beige, or hearing aid beige, some people would unkindly say. And it was, I remember the number plate, KQB630 was the number plate of this Sigma that we had. That was a family car. And if you know anything about these cars, then kids growing up today in SUVs and big things, you've got no idea about car travel. Absolutely. We had, this was like Mazda 3 size for three boys. And, you know, the guy in the middle, that was little brother, Steve. He had no leg room, no elbow room. And if he dared look either side, you know, we just kind of elbow him or something like that. But the annual tradition was to travel across to Scone, where my grandparents lived. And back then, the roads were all dirt. You know, you've got it all easy these days, but it was raining, it was dirt, it was going through Safala, and then into the Bylong Valley and through the tunnel at Cox's Gap and then on to Scone. But I remember these car trips with such fun because it was Christmas. And we'd pack the Sigma, and it wasn't a wagon, it was a sedan with a really small boot. And this is five people in our family and presents. And so somehow my dad was a master at sort of Tetris, before Tetris happened, getting everything in the boot, wrapping all the presents up, and some on the parcel shelf. But what my dad managed to engineer as well, this is before MP3 players, CD players, I mean, we had tape players. Remember tapes? Yeah. Well, my dad managed to install a tape player into this car with speakers behind us. It was incredible. Two sound stereo speaker. And his favorite was Kenny Rogers. But Kenny Rogers had a Christmas special album. And boy, did we get used to this album. I don't know why, but he loved it. And so here we are. Three boys in the back listening to Kenny Rogers all the way to Scone, this four-hour drive, through the dirt, through the rain, packed to the gunwales with Christmas presents, cars, clothes. And it was one of those journeys that we'd endure. But it didn't seem to matter because at the other end we knew was a family gathering. And it didn't happen every year, but the years where my aunts and uncles and cousins would come and cram themselves. And every time I drive past this little house, is on the highway in Scone, opposite McDonald's, if you know Scone. This little tiny green fibro shack. And we used to think it was just grand because it had a big backyard. But when I look at it now, this place is tiny. It was hot in summer. But we didn't care. It was Christmas. We had tents out the back. We had cousins everywhere, people everywhere. And it was just that sense of family. And to me, it was the thrill of joy, of when that car turned into 37 Kelly Street, this little green fibro shack, that we knew that something special was coming, even though it had been a horrible trip, even though we had to endure Kenny Rogers, endure each other, and endure everything for that trip. It's the thrill of joy of Christmas, isn't it? I don't know what your thrill of joy Christmas feeling is. I've got a few, but that's one of them. Just those memories of something special is about to happen. There's something good on the horizon. There's that anticipation, isn't there? That excitement. And I know as adults, kids, sometimes adults get a bit boring. They get a bit dull about Christmas. But tell you, there's a magic about Christmas because something good is about to happen. So kids, make sure your parents are still excited about Christmas this year. And the teenagers. It's the thrill of joy. It comes from that beautiful song, O Holy Night. Love it. It talks in that line, there's a thrill of joy. The weary world rejoices. It's like the world is dark and weary, and it might have been a long car trip. It might have been a long year. It might have been a long decade, but there's something happening. This little thrill of joy we find when we look at this story in Matthew's gospel. This is the story of Jesus as written down by Matthew. There's two stories of Jesus' birth. One's in Matthew, one's in Luke. This one is just a little brief snapshot of what happened around then. Let's have a look at that. Matthew 1:20. Let's look at the first little thrill of joy that's talked about. As he considered these things, now the he in this is Joseph. And Joseph, well, he was in the middle of a pretty tough situation, actually. He was betrothed or engaged to Mary, his wife-to-be. Betrothal is a bit more than engagement in that culture. They're actually sort of almost married. But there was a problem. Because Mary's pregnant and not actually married yet. And Joseph is in trouble because he's going, this could bring great shame on my family. I wonder what should I do? Like, how did this happen? You know, it wasn't me. You can just imagine what would be going on in his mind. And that's what he's pondering. He says, as he considered these things, he goes, what the situation? What do I do? And Mary's saying, look, you're not going to believe this. But an angel came and somehow I'm pregnant. And Joseph's going, no, I don't believe it. Nice try, Mary, but I mean, I'm making this up. This isn't the Bible. But I'm just trying to imagine what would be going on in Joseph's mind. Like, they're about to get married and she's pregnant. Like, what is going on? And he's pondering these things, it says. And then he gets an angel coming to visit him. And he said, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So he's having a snooze. And suddenly this angel, now angels are fearsome things. I don't know if you ever had an angel visit you in your dream. But like every time an angel turns up in the Bible, the first thing the angel says is, fear not. It's all right, I'm not going to kill you. They're not just fluffy things. They're fearsome creatures. And the angel says this, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Like, don't be afraid of the circumstances going on. I know it looks weird. I know your family doesn't understand. I know the village you come from is questioning everything, but don't be afraid to take her as your wife. Keep going. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He's going, oh, it still doesn't make any sense. And this is the promise. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Here's the promise to Mary. A son is coming and his name will be Jesus. Now, Jesus means Joshua. It's the Greek. It's the modern version of Joshua to them. Joshua is the hero in the Bible who conquered with God's help. It means God saves. And so it's like this guy is going to be a savior, just like Joshua was the savior in the Old Testament and he fought battles and won incredible things. This guy is going to do amazing things. And guess what, Joseph? You get to be part of it. You get the front row seat of what's going on here. She'll bear a son, and you shall call him his name Jesus. Could it be, Joseph? Could it be that something incredible is about to happen? Could it be there's a thrill of joy coming? Could it be that something good is finally about to happen? The next verse, Matthew writes, says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. What does that mean? Well, way back in the Old Testament, you know, the chunk of the Bible before Jesus, there's all these hints of the Jesus who is to come. All these little stories and pictures of Jesus right the way through. So that when Jesus kind of comes, They should have known, some of them did, that this is the answer to all those problems. like Abram. 2,000 years before Jesus, Abram had a hint that that something was going to happen down the track. Moses, he actually caught a glimpse of God and used to kind of hang out in God's presence. He knew partly what was going to be revealed in full. David knew that there was going to be a king who'd come from his own line. And then the prophets of the Old Testament started speaking specifically about exactly what was going to happen. I mean, listen to this in Isaiah 9:6, 500 odd years before Jesus was born. This is what's written about him. For us a child is born, to us a son is given. You've heard this, right? But it was written way before Jesus. The government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How awesome is that? That was written about Jesus way, way before he ever came. And then in Micah, another prophet says this, but you, Bethlehem, he names the town that Jesus is to be born way before, hundreds of years before. He says, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. It's like, wow. Mike is saying, there's going to be someone who comes from Bethlehem who's actually of old, of ancient times, like a God who was forever. And he's going to be coming into Jerusalem. That's the hint that Joseph gets. It's supposed to be right now. And then Matthew goes on, he says, behold, the virgin shall conceive. Again, he's quoting another promise that was way back. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. That's what it's supposed to be. You see, for so long, so many thousands of years, they didn't really grab hold of the true God. But now they're saying, hey, it's about God with us. God is saying, here comes the time when I'm going to be with my people. I'm not going to be distant from them. I'm not going to be sort of up in the heavens and they're down here. I'm going to come down and be with them and walk with them and show them how much I love them. And this is the Jesus that we serve and love. God with us, fully human, fully man, fully God. That's the hint that Joseph gets right there in that dream. Is this the thrill of joy? Like, could it be that God actually likes you? What a weird thought. Could it be that God looks at you with a smile? Could it be that God looks at us with great affection? Do you know there's a Bible verse that says that God looks at us? It's like loving kindness. He rescued me because he delighted in me, says Psalm 18:19. Did you know that God delights in you? He doesn't just put up with us. He doesn't just kind of like us, but kind of love us because he's our father or a mother or something, you know, that sort of love. No. He delights in us. That's the view of God that we should have, is that he looks at us with great delight. Sure, we feel like we've messed up in life. Sure, we feel like we've never really reached the standard, and we never will. But that's the point. See, to this here is God with us, Emmanuel. He rescued us because he delights in us. Could it be this God who calms our storms? Could this be the God who's about to land in Bethlehem and transform the world? Could it be that this is the God who heals our fears, heals our sicknesses? Could it be this the God who restores our sight? Could this be the one who's about to come? Could he be the one who raises up our hopes, who casts out demonic oppression, who celebrates us? Could this be the one? Is this the one who teaches with authority and wisdom? Is this the one who's come to fill our heart with love and compassion for other people. Like this is the one they've been talking about for so long, who can give us real inner peace, not just peace as the world gives, but real peace on the inside, real joy. Is this the God who can give us and guarantee us eternal life so that we can live confidently with hope in the future? I reckon that's the thrill of joy. Can you imagine being Joseph? Waking up after that dream, going, oh my goodness, this is it. This is the one that all these people thousands of years ago have been talking about. It's now, and I get to be a part of it. Joseph gets to be in the front row of what God is doing. He gets to witness the birth of Jesus. He gets to see Jesus and be his earthly father as he's raised up. Jesus gets to be right there and see this unfolding miracle of Jesus. I tell you, it's the most amazing thing that's just about to happen. But it's not only amazing theologically and because of all this Old Testament fulfillment, you know. That's all interesting for people like me. But for everybody, do you know what it really means? Is that God is with us. That God likes us. He delights in us. He cares deeply about us. He longs to have us close. He longs to connect with us. He longs for us to know him personally. He longs for us to feel his embrace and his love. He longs for anxieties and fears in our hearts to be stilled. He longs for us to know of pure joy and pure love. That's possible. It's actually possible because of this Emmanuel, God with us. Because that's past, right? Jesus has already come. Jesus has given us this gift. So now we can embrace it. Let's get some musos on stage. Let's spend some time just in prayer and reflection on this. It's one thing to know this in our heads. It's another thing to experience it in our hearts. Because I've found that there's a massive gap between my head and my heart. I can understand things, but knowing things is a deal different. You might be the same. You think, I get that. You know, God with us, Emmanuel. I get the birth of Jesus, and I kind of understand he's fulfilled all this prophecy, and somehow it's good. That's where most people land. But really, it's really possible to know this Jesus. That's what it means. Not God with us just back then in Bethlehem and in the wise men and the angels and the stars and the donkeys. God with us now. Nothing's actually changed. God with us now. 2020, Bathurst, New South Wales. God with each person. There is no barrier from stopping you to know God. Nothing. Nothing in your past, nothing in your thought life, no fears, no anxieties, nothing can stop us from knowing Jesus. Let me show you how to connect with him. Just close your eyes for a moment. Psalm 16, 11, it says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. Do you want to know the secret to real joy? It's being in the presence of God. That's what brings pure joy, fresh joy, a thrill of joy. Imagine being in the presence of the creator of the universe, but confidently. Not having to be afraid, but knowing not only is he creator of everything, but he's also a loving father. Can you imagine being in the presence of God and him looking on you, again, this is my son, this is my daughter, whom I love, whom I'm well pleased. That's the miracle of Jesus. He connects God with people. He takes away our sin, the stuff that keeps us back from God, our failings, our fears, all that. All that's removed, and suddenly what's left is just us and God and this thrill of joy. Because it says here, in your presence is fullness of joy. Right now, I want you to experience that presence and that joy. Right now, just in your heart, say, come Jesus. That song, O come, Emmanuel. It's a prayer. Not just come to earth, he did that. No, O come into my heart. Come, O come, Emmanuel. Come, O come, God with us. Come inside of my heart, God with us. Jesus, would you come into my heart? Would you come into my heart again this Christmas? Would you come and calm the fears and the disappointments and the hurt and the pain and the reality of 2020 and the fears of next week and tomorrow? Would you come and calm all those things? And I'm looking for a thrill of joy, because pure joy is found in the presence of God. He takes away all fear. I want you to experience that just for a moment this morning. Holy Spirit, come. Touch every person. Every person. Come in the presence of God. With an experience, a touch of your presence and a touch of your joy. And a reality that you love them dearly. Come. And if you've never really known Jesus before, you can just pray and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Help me to get to know you better. I want to connect with you and somehow get to know you and learn about you. You pray a prayer like that and he starts to come into your. And if you just need to be refreshed by his presence, same prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. I need your refreshing touch and your presence this Christmas. Amen. I really do hope that this Christmas season you can be refreshed in him. Because that's the point of Jesus. And you're going to find some joy despite the year that's been.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.